All right, we're live. Welcome, folks who are members of our EOC podcast Facebook group. Yeah, Matt Podolsky here. We got Tom Bogle on the show. So, yeah, we're here because we are doing a little experiment. And
it's clearly an experiment.
I'm trying to record this call separately for a special bonus episode of the podcast. So essentially what we're doing here is Sean and I are about to leave for our next shoot down in Mexico for our Vaquita film project. We wanted to share some updates with you while we're out in the field. There's always lots of crazy stuff going on, and we're just kind of experimenting with like different ways to share that information with all of you, the folks who follow our podcast series and follow what Wide Lens is up to, to sort of share that information in real time. So we're doing a couple things. One, we're going to be doing live streams, just like this one, directly from our EOC podcast Facebook group, where you're watching this right now, most likely. And then we're also going to be recording, the audio of all of these conversations and then releasing them as sort of like a subset, within our feed on the Eisen Conservation podcast. So essentially what this is it's audio diaries, right? So like periodically during the shoot, Sean and I will be down there probably for about 2 weeks, and we're just going to make a concerted effort to, at least a couple times a week, do one of these audio diaries, stream it live to this EOC podcast group, and then we'll be sending those audio files to our podcast producer, Catherine Dunning, and she'll be feeding these audio diaries into our podcast group. So you can listen to the audio right from the EOC podcast where you download new episodes, and you can see us if you pay close attention to this Facebook group. Was that a good explanation, Sean? Did I miss anything?
It's great, and I mean, if anybody needs any more enticing, like for instance, when you sit at a table and you get chips and dip, that of course keeps you at that table so that you order. So in order for it to keep you at our table, I'll give you a few seconds of the Ellie Belly chewing on a Kong. So now that we have your attention, with what we're trying to explain right now, especially regarding this upcoming shoot, which we leave early tomorrow. On. And of course, recognize that we're all coming from different directions. The crew this year is going to be Rue Mahoney coming from Seattle, Matthew Podolsky from Boise, Idaho, and then I currently reside in South Kakalaki, South Carolina. So we will all converge in San Diego, and we will rent a vehicle, and we will head down about 4 hours to San Felipe and just start getting updates from people and waiting for the rest of the crew so that we can start shooting.
Awesome. And what's going on? Maybe we can just explain to people, like, what's going on in San Felipe and in the Upper Gulf of California, like, right at this moment. What are we going down there to try to capture?
What's not going on? That's the real question. We've said this for years. I'm having learned it firsthand that when we once think that everything, what we think is actually happening, clearly there's always some new elements that arise. That, I mean, I was just there in January, and again, surprised from the evolution of events that have unfolded just over the winter. And then now it's, about a month and a half later that we're heading back. And, the main purpose that we're heading back, which is what we've always reported at this time every year since we started the project, is essentially documenting the height of the legal fishing period. So right now, Totwaba, which is an endangered fish, making its way into the headwaters near where, the mouth of the Colorado River flows out in the Gulf. And this is an opportunity for the fishermen to essentially or have the fish in their backyard to go illegally fish to extract the swim bladder, which then sells for thousands, possibly even hundreds of thousands of dollars in China. So we're documenting this period. What else happens at exactly that same time is that this is also the moment where the most vaquita fatality or mortality incidents occur, being that vaquita are the same size as the twaba, and that there are hundreds and hundreds of nets in the water. I'm going, you know, although they're pulling nets out of the water, as far as like what Sea Shepherd is doing, there's more nets going in the water, and of course this does a lot of damage to not only the general ecosystem but specifically the vaquita. The first year that we were out there, we witnessed 3 mortalities. And then the following year, we had up to 6 mortalities. And if you look at the survey reports over those years, the population has been cut in half every year. Essentially went from 60 to 30, and now we're down to even less than that, so low 20s. Essentially what has been adding to that is the amount of corruption. No matter what you read in the headlines, or whatever the Mexican government says, as far as what they're trying to do for these communities to try to, steer this in a different population, doesn't go extinct, and where the communities of the Upper Gulf are also assisted in trying to endure this ban on fishing that's happening, but unfortunately, none of these things are aligning, and all the efforts thus far have failed. And we have our perspective on a lot of this has morphed over the years on this project, and so now we're going into this with a very different, I don't want to say mindset, but attitude is how we're going in, as far as like trying to deliver more of the truth than what most of the information is coming out, because there's always this sense of hope based on all these efforts that are happening. But unfortunately, every single attempt has failed on every level. So we're just trying to cover those elements as we go down there to illustrate that.
Yeah, for sure. And I do think it's important to mention, the shift in mindset that we've had. Occurred, I think, as a direct result of the failure of the capture effort in the fall of last year. I think right up until that point, we're trying very hard to remain hopeful, realistic, but hopeful. And we're at a point now where, there are still vaquitas out there.
Right.
But nobody has any realistic ideas about what could be done to prevent those. We've reached a point where we feel like we need to come to terms with the fact that the extinction of vaquita is almost certainly inevitable
at this point. Yep.
Which is unfortunate. A bunch of folks that I've chatted with, these past couple of days, as I talk about, our plans to go down to Mexico for the shoot, a lot of people seem like, oh, you're going down to like get some footage of the keto. Like, I hope you get some shots, right? And like, that ship has sailed, right? The likelihood of anybody, going out and even seeing the keto at this point, because there are so few of them left, is very, very, very low. It was really difficult find them, even with this massive operation and this whole armada of boats and access to live data on where the vaquitas were. Even with that whole situation, it was difficult to find them as a part of those attempts to capture them. So what we're going down there to tell is we're following up on these human storylines, right? We're documenting the impact that this issue has on certain members of the fishing community down there in Central Bay. And it's just sort of like one of these stories that we're following. So that's really sort of the heart of it. And Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we don't need to get into too much detail because, I mean, as is always the case on every single one of these trips that we've taken down there, there are a lot of question marks, and it's inevitable that our plans will shift once we get down there based on the situation.
Every time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there's really no reason in us, like, getting into too much detail because almost certainly the details will change once we're down there. But maybe we can just talk a little bit about sort of, you know, our planning and, you know, sort of where we're at. We are leaving tomorrow morning. So, you know, this time tomorrow, we'll be in Mexico. So where are we at as far as, you know, planning, pulling gear together? What do you got, John?
Well, so, I don't know that I ever, like, when a shoot ends, I don't believe that it just ends and then we pick up the pieces within a week before a shoot and then we shoot off again. I mean, for me, it's been one continuous episode. Like, when a shoot ends, that next day, I'm still working towards gathering information from San Felipe. Like, I try to stay very, very close to what's going on without there being any gaps. I mean, because if you do, the whole scene is completely changed. And it helps not even just telling the story, but helps me grasp the scope of what exactly is happening with the issue. And, you know, as much as, you know, we've been telling the story and want to continue to tell the story, for me personally, I'm still very much embedded and interested and invested in understanding why we're in this situation to begin with. I mean, I can list, you know, 1 through 10, reasons, which is what everybody else knows, but there are all these small little pieces that don't get looked at close enough that essentially are the catalyst for these larger decisions that ends up happening. So, my involvement in this, especially before going on a shoot, I mean, frankly, it just doesn't end. The panic attack happens when I realize that it's the next shoot because I've been so, like, I'm like staring at, you know, my computer and I'm on the phone and I'm doing emails trying to get a better sense of what's happening as things change. So I typically, as much as I'm always like, oh, I'm going to prep the gear and I'm going to do this and that like a week in advance, that never happens. So, you know, I tend to have the last minute, and end up making last minute phone calls. I mean, things that potentially could wait, but because I don't know how a Mexico shoot is going to end up, how long we're going to be there, what's going to happen, I feel like I have to do all these other things on the other end that doesn't involve Vaquita in order to do that. So, and really what I'm trying to say is, like, I just end up throwing everything on the bed and then I have to go through it super last minute and then ordering last minute Pelican cases. I tie foam. That's what I do. I pluck French fry foam for hours to make it fit the exact piece of gear so that expensive gear doesn't get broke. So anyways, this is what it looks like when we're putting stuff together, you know, audio, video, gear, the bags of stuff, you know, suntan lotion, binoculars, we recently obtained a nice piece of equipment to essentially push wide lens further beyond with the caliber of footage that we're shooting. But then we also have to make sure, in addition to gear, that all our permits are in place, as far as depending on what equipment that we use, operating a drone or getting on a boat or conducting interviews with the Navy. I mean, all of this does not happen quickly, especially in Mexico. And it's always very difficult to actually get a lot of this access when you're operating remotely. A lot of this stuff has to happen then, or they tell you, yeah, sure, you can get on the boat, or yeah, sure, you can do this and that. And then you get there and it doesn't actually happen. So you sit around waiting to get access. And in the meantime, you're trying to find out what's going to fill our time. And I mean, there's just, if anybody understands what a shoot is like, and if you don't, it's, you can plan everything to a T, but none of that, and we know that's just with life, but for the most part, shoots in general, like, they just don't plan out that way. I mean, at least not documentary filmmaking. That just doesn't happen. So we're always just trying to get our, you know, our vaquita in a row and make sure we're as best prepared as possible, but ultimately, we have to be flexible. I mean, that's just the no-brainer.
Yeah, flexibility is certainly one of the most critical components to this.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I mean, I am the same way. I think the one difference, Sean, between like what you said about like, you know, prepping for these shoots and getting all the gear ready.
I don't do that.
What's that?
I don't think you do that.
Yeah, no,
I think
do.
You're
it's
back
just that...
back from the last.
I mean, I do that. You know what I mean? I cut out the step. I mean, you said you sort of like a week or two out, you're sort of like, yeah, I'm going to like prep all my gear like a week ahead of time. And, you know, you get that into that mindset. And then, of course, things happen and you know, you get busy, you're answering emails, working on other projects. I mean, you know,
right.
And other things that we do. And then at the last day, you're like, oh, shoot, I got to get all my gear ready. Like, I just accept the fact that I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to prep any of the gear at all until the day before, right? And so I'll show you my setup. With this setup.
Yeah, guys, what you're about to see, please
build
her thigh.
From where Sean is at right here. But, yeah, my gear is just kind of
scary. Yeah, that's just Matthew's trash on the ground. He just, yeah.
Everybody's got a different process.
I'll say that like our personalities, they're obviously on very different ends of the spectrum, but I think they complement each other well in what we're trying to achieve in the end. So at least that's how I feel. I don't know how you feel. You don't have to be honest on the show right now, so you can email me later.
Well, no, yeah, I mean, I have to agree in this form. No, it's true. It's true, man. I mean, I do think that it is helpful that there are some differences in our sort of style and our approach and our level of organization. So. Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, is there anything else that you can think of that you think people might be interested in hearing about?
So the only thing that I would like to mention at this point, and this won't be the last time that I think we mention this, we do want to remind everybody that, you know, when we started this project, we had projected out that 2018 essentially was going to be the final year of production because we did want to complete the film by the end of 2018. You know, we've been releasing content along the way. We had a 13-minute film, and then of course our 30-minute film. A whole slew of podcasts, blogs, you know, building a website, all this sort of stuff. Essentially to have information available for people to get a different perspective, much different than some of the other organizations out there. And those organizations have been great in what they do. But the fact that we're bringing information directly from the Upper Gulf because we're making frequent visits, gives us kind of the edge on what we're trying to do. And what kind of information that we're trying to deliver, and helps us understand the story as well. But we're here. It is now 2018. We are now at the height of the Tatuaba season, and this was always in our mind going to be potentially the last shoot before we go into post-production. And well, we're here now. Now, I don't know if we might be able to squeeze in one more, but we want to stick to that timeline because I don't believe much will change. If it does, which I encourage for the, you know, positive for Vaquita, I hope so, but it doesn't look like that. The Vaquita is operating, or existing, you know, or getting resistance more so from a much larger machine than it. And I just don't see how we'd be able to pull out of that. So, technically, yes, we could be documenting. This could be the longest documentary film in history. And I'm sure every filmmaker faces that whenever they're covering an issue. It's like, when do I pull the plug? Like, what is the caveat to, like, my story so that I can move on? And then maybe either I do a follow-up film or somebody else picks up the pieces and then continues beyond me. I mean, I find that to always to be a struggle. I mean, this being my first documentary film, I've gone back and forth with this, but I'll be honest, I'm exhausted. This particular project has beaten us quite well with just, and I don't mean the workings of like how to make a documentary. I'm just talking about the results of the issue have just, I mean, the spirit, the soul, the heart, the mind, the body. It's, you know, and I know Matthew can speak to this as well, which is kind of like where we are. Like, you know, we've the impact of the vaquita for us has been so heavy-handed that it's, I don't know that I'm even prepared, whatever the next project, I don't know that I personally would be prepared to take on such a heavy issue. And I mean, honestly, we never even thought that it was going to turn into this, right? We thought that we were just going to kind of add some extra pieces to, you know, a previous doc that happened back in 2008. But it's been so much more than that because of the complexity of the issue, which we would have never learned had we not dived into this project. There's no media that could have ever presented all this information in the way that we've been able to absorb it. So, you know, this just keep in mind, you know, we'll definitely have some, you know, when we get to the point when we've definitively decided, okay, we're not going to go back out and shoot, for this particular project, then, you know, we'll keep people posted as far as like when that moment's going to happen. Now, I will say this, that like, you know, much like our previous projects like Scavenger Hunt and Bluebird Man, you know, there were updates. We did, you know, we continued to follow and provide information on those issues, as best as we can while trying to create new projects, right? So, you know, definitely keep that in mind. Like, I don't believe that we'll ever just shed the vaquita. I mean, even if the vaquita goes extinct, like, I just believe there's so many lessons to be learned. And it's been so much a part of, like, the lives of, like, Matthew and myself that, like, I strongly believe that we're probably still going to be heavily tied to it. And whatever we learn, we're still going to continue to share that with all of you. Just because we know that the whole reason that you're even paying attention to what I'm saying now and that you're in this group or you listen to the podcast, or you look at our films, we're just involved in conservation in general, is essentially why I think that, you know, there's our audience is also invested in this issue. So, you know, it's not completely over, but like we are getting near that, you know, near that paved road.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think it's I don't know. I mean, it so much, this project has like evolved and changed so much. I mean, both sort of like the structure of our, you know, of the project itself.
Right.
But also, you know, the outcome and the actual events that we're working to document have just taken so many like unexpected turns. That, I mean, I actually think it's quite remarkable that, like, we are, you know, still on track to meet that original goal for completion.
Always surprised about that.
We set that goal when we launched our Kickstarter campaign, for this project, which was, a long time ago. How many years ago was that? What year is it now?
We're approaching 3 years now, man.
Right. So it was almost 3 years ago. That we launched that Kickstarter campaign, raised that first bit of seed money for this film, and that was what we projected. I mean, that was the goal that we sort of set for ourselves to finish the feature-length version of the film by the end of 2018.
Right.
And that continues to be our goal, right? I mean, we're at a point now where, you know, we're now collaborating with a group of production companies. So it's, you know, that entering post-production will be very different than sort of what we're used to. I mean, we're used to doing everything ourselves, you know, all the editing, all the post-production work, but and also the distribution, you know, and that will not be the case with this film at this point, because we have these other production companies, these other collaborators that are going to, you know, play a central role and then do that, and obviously with our feedback and input. But, yeah, so I think it's cool that, like, you know, like, hey, we're still on track to, you know, essentially do what we said we were going to do, despite how dramatically, you know, this production has changed over the course of the last, 2.5 years, almost 3 years.
Right. No, I mean, I agree. I totally agree. Like, who would have ever seen that coming, right? You know, not only did the issue and the story evolved, but the terms at which that we were operating under have also, like, there's a whole story in that itself.
Right.
We could definitely have a whole back episode against, you know, explaining, like, how it evolved on the back end for us, and then, like, watch them in a timeline fashion of, like, how they, you know, were intertwined with each other. So, I don't know. Not to say that I want to do that right now, but...
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's important to note that, like, I mean, part of the reason why we're doing this, right, and, you know, we're trying to create a dialogue, and, I mean, this is something that we wanted to do right from the beginning, is sort of make sure that we keep people updated on what's going on with this issue as we go through the process of producing the film. You know, we haven't been able to do that, I think, to the extent that we initially hoped. And there's a variety of reasons for that. I mean, one of them just being like the amount of time it takes to, like, you know, put out all of this type of content in addition to, you know, gathering the content we need for the actual final film.
Right.
But then, I mean, another one is security concerns, right? And I just think it's important for people to know that, like, you know, we have to be very cautious about what we say in this type of format, right? Because, like, we're going to be down in Mexico. We're going to be in this town tomorrow, and it's dangerous, right? I mean, you know, this town is being taken over by the Mexican drug cartels. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of people are claiming that that's not the case, but I mean, we know
well,
that is the case. And,
more so than ever, like that. Yeah. There used to be people on the fence about that, but I would probably say pretty strongly that everybody's getting that impression now. Like, there's no gray area anymore. When fishermen show up with machine guns and they shoot...
Oh, I'm sounding just froze. Alright, well, I guess I'll... there we go. You just froze for a second. I think you froze on the live stream with, like, a really excellent expression on your face, so that was good. anyways, yeah, no, I mean, I think this is sort of a good point to kind of wrap this up.
Okay, all right.
But, you know, I just wanted to make people aware that, like, you know, we wish that we could just, like, as information came in, that we could just throw it out there and make it available to the public, and to especially, you know, the folks that listen to our podcast and pay attention to this type of content that we produce. But we have to be cautious about that, and we have to filter this, and we have to sort of assess, like, what, you know, what is safe to say publicly at any given moment. So we will be doing these updates, but we do have to be cautious about what we say.
Yeah, I agree. We're still working.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I guess we will, with that, we will sign off our first audio diary from the Vikita Sheets in March 2018, and we'll be back. Next time we do one of these, we will be down in Mexico on location, providing you with live updates from the field. So, thanks for paying attention.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. We'll see you soon.